Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Welcome to another exciting episode with Ken Lee and the Three Beards EPL Soccer Podcast. Ken Lee, how are you, say?
I'm good. Hopefully not as relaxed as you are after a week in the Keys.
Yeah, man. I had an awesome vacation in the Florida Keys. Flew down there on Wednesday morning, and then we rented a car and drove from Miami to the Keys, and the drive was awesome. Highly recommend it if anybody gets a chance. And just hung around fishing, boating, doing some jet skiing. It was a good time, you know, a little mommy and daddy trip. We haven't taken a trip away from the kids. I mean, we've been married for 8 years. I don't know, like, ever? Have you guys had a trip like that yet?
Yeah, we have. We had to go to California for a friend's wedding. We left but that was when we had only one, so we left the goon at home with his goo.
Yeah, his goo, is that grandma?
That's grandma.
Goo. Yeah, we had the kids at home here for 4 days, and then we got in late last night. And then today, we woke up Sunday, and my wife is like, hey, let's go see the cherry blossoms. So we went to D.C., which is like an hour away from us. And Ken, it was freezing.
Yeah, my 2.5-year-old Ledge started lacrosse today, 9 a.m., and it was like 30 degrees outside.
Yeah.
It was like so cold your eyes were watering.
Yeah, it was 88 yesterday when I was in the Keys and we were driving. Sunburned my head, so there's that. And then we get here and I was in D.C. and it was, I think it was 40 with like a 15-mile-per-hour wind, so it was absolutely freezing.
Yeah, dude, it was cold. But I'm glad that you had your little vacation, but now it's back to reality.
It's time to get back to work. Actually,
it's Baltimore.
Dude.
It's cold.
I'm not getting back to work. I have 3 days before I fly to Charleston for Brother Joey's bachelor party. I will not be recording from there, Ken, although it's very tempting. To get it, you know, a bunch of soccer. All those guys are big soccer dudes, so it's tempting. Why is the dog doing that? The dog is whacking the window right now. Hold on. All right.
Sometimes the dog's gotta be a dog.
Dog doesn't want me to leave, but yeah. So Brother Joey, Dr. Pete, and a couple other brothers of mine, and then Joey's got like Ken. There are 30 dudes going to this bachelor party.
I don't even know 30 people.
I can't think of 15 that I want to invite. But yeah, so he is 30 going down. We're renting two houses. So no, I'm not going back to work is what I'm trying to say.
Congratulations.
But you know what's cool about it, Ken, is that so pretty much everybody's into soccer. And there's a bunch of different teams that'll be represented down there. And the games that are on Saturday and probably a little bit Sunday morning. People will probably be in rough shape on Sunday morning. But the Saturday games, I think, will be pretty interesting because you'll have all these people that get up for games anyways, regardless of what they did the night before. So I'm looking forward to watching soccer games with, like, 20 other people.
Should be a fun time. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm jealous because I don't know about hanging out with 30 people. But I'm sure it's going to be a good time. I'm sure.
I'm in the we actually branched off, Ken. We have the old guy house, and that's those of us that are like over 30. And then my little brother, he's 27. So all his friends are like 25, 26, 27. And, you know, they don't have kids or anything, Ken. So us old guys will have our own house. And you have an open invite to the old guy house, Ken.
I'll pass. I don't know if my wife would allow me to gallivant down to Charleston to drink wildly with a bunch of dudes.
Well, there's a lot of
here with the kiddies.
There's a lot of Liverpool fans that are going, Ken, and I bring that up because this week's game of the week, which we knew it was going to be, was Liverpool versus Manchester City at Anfield. And I thought, Ken, maybe the most impressive thing to me, with all the talk of fans either going berserk in West Ham, like running onto the field, or being weak sauce, like the Manchester United fans not creating enough of an atmosphere, I thought the Liverpool fans in this game were amazing.
Yeah, and I think it was all that the starting 11 needed to grab City by the throat.
Yep.
And say, you are going to get skull dragged today.
And that is what happened.
Outside of the first 5 or 10 minutes, I mean, it was all Liverpool all the time. And City, for what I think the first time really this season, looked absurdly lost.
Yeah.
And did not know what to do. And I personally, I mean, I don't like to take any type of pleasure in anyone's like downfall or failure on the day, but just seeing Pep's head chin constantly hit his chest, I mean, it did make me feel a little bit better. I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, someone needed to pull these guys down from the cloud that they were in. And this season, I mean, it's just been Liverpool. Klopp and his boys have said, you can get whatever you want on the rest of the league, but we're here to tell you that next season we're coming for you, and we're going to start it this season because we're the only team to mollywop you and beat you in the league
twice
until this weekend, obviously.
Yeah. Klopp has a stunning record against top, I guess it's five now, clubs. I was trying to research it on the way over here and getting into the stats of it. He actually wins about 60% of his big matches. It's the games against smaller teams that he loses. But in this case, you and I talked about
and
it before.
Unfortunately for that, not to drag too far away, it's not really necessarily that you need to beat the top clubs to be the top club. You need to be beating those little clubs. And until they get that consistency figured out, we're going to have a little bit of an issue with Liverpool. But, you know, I mean, he makes for some interesting football. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
It was awesome watching.
Yeah, so Salah scores immediately, Ken, in the 12th minute because Salah is ridiculous.
Dude, he has to be best player in the world this season. Has to be.
Well, Messi scored another free kick this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I saw. I mean, he's doing what he's
and
doing.
And Ronaldo scored an overhead kick in that Real Madrid game, which was ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, Ronaldo hasn't been consistently good this season. Messi has been, yes.
Yeah.
So I just think that there's something to be said for someone consistently doing it in the English Premier League.
So I saw it a lot.
And smashing in Champions League,
I saw
too,
it a lot,
by the way,
this week. Who's been better this season, Mo Salah or KDB? It's you know, you can't take away from the fact that City's winning the league by, you know, 15-plus points or 12-plus points now.
You can't.
They're running away with it, and KDB is a huge part in that. You could definitely say, though, that Salah has done it from the very beginning of the season all the way through the most recent game, the Manchester City-Liverpool match, and then the Liverpool-Everton match. They didn't score in that one, but all the way through the season, Salah's been there. And KDB, maybe it's because his supporting cast is so good, he hasn't really had to be there for the whole season. He was amazing through the first, 25 games?
Yeah.
And he's taken his foot off the gas a little bit.
But, I mean, I don't know. Foot off the gas, whatever. If we're going to be comparing Mosa to De Bruyne, you can only really compare the two that have shown up against each other this season, and it's Mosa.
Yeah, I mean, going into this match, I would have said it was KDB just because he is the best player or has been the best player on the City squad, but just barely. I mean, there's a lot of those guys that have been playing really, really well.
He's the maestro,
exactly. And I would say that because of City's form, you would have to say that it was KDB that was the player of the season. But, I mean, where is Liverpool without Mo Salah?
They're not where they are, that's for sure. I don't know how much worse they would be, but they're definitely not in third place and, you know, giving Manchester United a run for second. That's for sure. And they're not beating, I don't believe anyway, and it's hard to say because he is there, but I don't believe that they're beating City.
Yeah, I don't believe they have their run in the Champions League that they're having right now because he scored so many games or goals in those matches. I mean, honestly, this performance, it's rare that I'll let a single performance change my mind about a player, but when you're comparing two players that are so close together in terms of their performance of the season, you'd have to say that Mo Salah scoring in this game is absolutely just goes on to continuously carry Liverpool in big opportunities. And of course, he leads the line. He is a right winger, but he's the farthest player forward as Firmino drops in and plays as a false nine. So he's the guy who should be scoring, but his conversions have been ridiculous this season, and he's been invaluable.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that it's judging on one performance. It's just the fact that he's been there the whole season and for the big moments. So that makes it
both of them.
There's no argument.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Every time they've played City, he's shown up, whether it be to score goals or to create chances. And when it came down to it, when City has played Liverpool this season, they have not been there. And just the same that you have to give De Bruyne all the credit for when they're playing great and flying high, you have to kind of put it on him when they're not. I mean, you can't just be the maestro when everything looks good. If you're the playmaker, you're the playmaker when it's not working either.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. But I think it's one of those cases where, I mean, Salah has been so clinical in big moments against big teams and then also against small teams as well. You saw the game where he scored four times, Ken. And then, of course, the Crystal Palace game last week where he scored in the 85th minute. He's been scoring.
He's cold-blooded. It's just his season, and I think that Klopp just plays a style that just caters to Mo Salah's potential of what he always could have been, but no manager's ever come in and just given it to him. So what you're seeing is the greatest side of Mo Salah, and it's fantastic if you're a Liverpool fan, for sure, and it's fantastic if you're Mo Salah, because playing out of his skin right now.
Yeah, on all fronts, too, also playing very well for Egypt. I don't know if you knew this, Ken, but The Egyptians recently had an election for president, and he received 1 million write-in votes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so he's on fire on all fronts, and he's loved at home. And for us, I'm not even a neutral, Ken, and I don't mind watching rival players if they're really good. Steven Gerrard, Torres, Aguero for City. I hold it against him when I'm playing him, but I love to watch good players. And right now, watching Mo Salah is it's brilliant, you know.
Yeah, I mean it's amazing to watch. And when you get an opportunity to watch the best at what they do, you don't miss it. And especially when the best at what he does is playing against what everyone was up until this week saying was going to be candidate for best team ever, which I think has been taken away for sure after this week. It's not even an argument. They can't be in the running for best team ever after the week that they've had. And are they a product of their success? I don't really care. If all you're doing is winning the league, I mean, several teams before you have won the league and several teams after you are going to win the league. You need to be doing more to be considered the best and the best ever. So I don't know, but when you get to see him do it, you got to watch. And right now, Mo Salah's the guy to watch.
Yeah, he scores in the 12th minute here. What about Oxlade-Chamberlain in the 20th?
What a ripper that was.
Beats his man, pokes it aside, and then hits an absolute missile.
Hey, now, this comes from a former Oxlade-Chamberlain fan. Used to play for my boys, play for my club. Temper expectations, guys. That's a one in every six or seven game experience you will get with the Ox, and just live it up, live that moment, and just don't expect it to happen consistently.
He has been playing better, don't take anything away from him.
He was ridiculous in this game. I mean, he was crazy.
Yeah, he played really, really well on both ends of the pitch, really, and was a huge part of the Liverpool blitz from the get-go, especially that smash that he hit there. He just hit it with so much power. He's actually been playing really, really well since about January. You know,
it
much maligned move from us, from everyone, where it was one of those things where he switched benches, where he switched from the Arsenal bench to the Liverpool bench and did not play well for Liverpool in the very beginning. Now that he's integrated and playing that attacking football where he doesn't have to play much defense, he really does seem to have come out of his shell just in time, Ken, for a World Cup look.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if Jack Wilshere is going to play the way that he played against Southampton. Jack Wilshere's not going to make that team. So
yeah, it's going to be tight. There's going to be people getting cut from the plane for sure.
Dude, there's no need to really talk about Arsenal today too much, but did you see that game? Jack Wilshere looked like a piece of dog do. Like, he was terrible. Besides getting the guy to shove his face to the ground and pull a red card from that guy, I mean, he was worthless.
It was Charlie Adam, right, to get the red.
He was so bad.
We'll get into that game, Ken, because I do.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do want to talk about Arsenal a little bit later, but continuing on this awesome game that we had between Manchester City and Liverpool, 31st minute, Mane scores. It is 3-0 within 30 minutes, and just the roof is off the building at Anfield. Everyone's going berserk, and City looks like they have lost their confidence in their defense. They, you know, Ken, as this game wore on...
I'm going to let you go, because I have some... Okay, go ahead.
As this game wore on, City put a little bit more pressure on the second half, but Liverpool never looked like they were going to allow a goal. They did not allow a shot on target in this game, Ken.
Mm-mm.
Go ahead.
Mm-mm. I don't think that it's they're losing confidence in their defense. I think that their defense is finally being pushed. And when you play a club like Liverpool,
that's a good point,
attacks exactly the way that you do, it becomes a matter of not when the goal is, not if the goal, if the goal is scored, it becomes when the goal is scored and by which club.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe whatever club scored between Liverpool and City scored first is going to go on and win that game. And because the defense is both, and Liverpool's defense is, I think, been playing way better than City's, but City's is never put under pressure. And when they are, like it was this week, the inefficiencies are shown and deficiencies are painfully obvious that they do not have a world-class defense.
Yeah, Otamendi just looked really bad.
He was complaining the whole time.
Yeah, he got done up a few times, and they carried that defensive form into the weekend against Manchester United as well. But in this match, you know, such a big deal really was for City to just grab a goal. Even though they were down 3-0, if they could have grabbed a goal, you would have felt like they absolutely could come back and win it, because Liverpool can do the same thing with their defense, although their defense has been really, really pretty good since December.
You look at the way that City played the first half of the United game, I'm not completely over the moon yet if I'm Liverpool. Now, if they had gotten a fourth goal, I do believe that would have been, it would have been over and done and dusted.
It should be over, but it's not.
It should be, but it's City, and there is that little bit of speculation. Can City come out at home and rip 4 on Liverpool? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah, they can.
It just depends on what Liverpool shows up. It doesn't really depend on what City shows up, because Manchester City has shown one thing this season, and I do believe that this comes down to the ignorance and hard-headedness of Pep Guardiola. Every manager has a hard-headedness about him, and his is, he's one-track mind on attack, attack, attack.
He plays one tactic.
Doesn't understand defense. And by and large, to his point, probably what he's thinking is, I don't have to play defense.
Yeah.
Because I attack so hard and so often and so quickly that the teams that I'm playing are too scared to push. So the defense doesn't need to be there. But when it does beat them, and this season has been a case of when, because it's happened so rarely, they look like a very normal club that should be title contenders. They don't look like a club that should be running away with the title by 13, 14, 15 points
mm-hmm.
with 6 games left or 5 games left. And that's what they look like now. But I do believe that City is starting to show themselves a little bit. Just in time for this season to be over, they're going to gallivant off with their title. I don't think that they're going to slide so much to where it gets any closer than this.
Yeah, I agree.
But next season, you're looking at a City, United, Liverpool, Tottenham, all of those guys, they're going to be fighting for the title. It depends on what Arsenal does. Depends on what Chelsea does in the offseason. I mean, I think those are two teams in kind of a turmoil and crisis right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it just depends on the summer. Summer's a long time. Managers are going to get swapped out, I would imagine, on both clubs.
Yeah.
Players are going to leave. Players are going to come in. It just depends. But I don't think that we're going to see this run away with the title next season based on how City has shown themselves to be this week. And again, I know it's 2 games, but I think it's been two very important games that have shown a lot of the mentality of City and its attack. And when we're getting scored on, we're going to try to attack still.
Yeah, I mean, it really could have been worse for City. They had, you know, they had 66% possession, and that's that tactic, producing those possession stats. Exactly. You had zero shots on target, and Liverpool's devastating. Liverpool's set up so well to counter City's strengths and weaknesses, and that's what really came out of this game to me. You know, that's the way you want to see a team play, and this game was as good. I thought it was still as good as we would hope it would be. It's 3-0, but it is not over, and Mo Salah limps off on this one, Ken, with a groin injury.
Yeah, I mean, besides that, I mean, that's a little scary for sure. Who knows what that's going to be? I haven't seen any reports of talking about length of injury, if there's even any length of injury time off.
He didn't play this weekend.
Yeah, but didn't really need to. They'd already said they were going to field a weekend side.
Yeah.
But if you're Liverpool, man, you cannot sleep on this City victory. You will absolutely wake up next week with a loss.
Yeah.
And it'll be a loss of enough to get you out.
It's definitely not over. It's not over.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, and this just speaks to the attacking prowess of City that we're even talking like it's still a valuable game to watch or even to show up in, because you're beating anyone else 3-0. I mean, it's on to the next round. But you never know, man. You never know. You never know. And then City rolls in to this weekend.
We saw that Barcelona game last year where they came from behind by, what was it, 4 goals?
It was like, well, they said they scored 4 to come back from behind with 3. It was something crazy. Yeah, but yeah, it's never done.
Yeah.
It probably was 4.
Yeah, I think it was 4 against PSG. But yeah, I mean, it's not over yet, but, you know, you have to be able to rebound from a game like that, and Manchester City goes into the weekend match, which is the Manchester Derby, United versus City, at the Etihad, at home for City, looking to celebrate the title if they win. They would celebrate, and a lot of talk leading up to that, as Chris Smalling said that Jose Mourinho told them that Manchester United would be the clowns watching the trophy ceremony. That is what City wanted, is to make, when they win the title, the trophy ceremony is right there and the other team watches. And that's what United used to spur them on because, I mean, Ken, we talked about this before, did this game really matter? I mean, for second place it matters, but did it matter like we'd hoped it would?
I think a derby match always matters.
Of course,
Especially when you're talking about a title being won or lost based on, not won or lost, but could be won on that game. They didn't lose the title that game. They're going to win the title. But
yeah, they are.
If the title can be won against a bitter rival, a neighborhood rival, then it makes it a little bit more worthwhile to watch, to play, to show your best. And for 45 minutes, they were embarrassing United for sure.
Yeah.
But again, United comes out, punches them in the face, and puts that defense to test. And that defense is not up for any type of test. And I would not be surprised to see another $100 million put into that defense this season.
So much has been spent on it.
Yeah, and they've already spent a lot. They've already spent $100 million.
No, they spent.
If you count last season with what's his name, the center forward Stones, that's 150.
They spent more than that because they spent 50 on Walker and 50 on Mendy, and then Danilo was
and Danilo, you're
like
right.
35.
Yeah, dude, it's like $200 million on that defense, and it's terrible.
Yeah, we talked about this before, but it's
maybe
the
it's not terrible, Tom. It's the tactic. Yeah,
it's
right.
A tactic. If you're going to attack all the time, your back door will be open, and Liverpool's a perfect team to exploit that. Actually, in this case, in the United game, so the City goes up 2-0. Company scores a commanding header over Chris Smalling in the 25th minute on
the corner.
Yeah, dude,
that was crazy. Chris Smalling
he
looked like
owned
a kid.
Chris Smalling.
Chris Smalling was even ripping the jersey off of his back.
Yeah, because he couldn't hold him. And then Gundogan turns around Modric, a beautiful spinning turn in the box for the second goal, and City pounded United for the first 45 minutes. This game should have easily could have been 4-5
at halftime. Yeah, and but Sterling showed his usual self, not the season self.
And we're England fans for the World Cup.
I know, but he's not good enough, and he has a lot of attacking prowess. But when it comes, he missed two shots from inside the six.
Yeah, one of them was a one-on-none where he just left Modric in the dust. Not Modric, like, jogged after him, and he
missed the goal both times.
Yeah, and he scored a lot of goals this year. We talked about it before, how many big goals he scored, but he's missed some absolute sitters. No,
and
he's not.
If it wasn't for Sterling missing those shots, United would have 100% been the clowns, and they would have been the clowns of a 6-0 defeat.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I thought it was going to be like that. I was getting ready to turn the game off, to be honest with you.
I texted you and I said, this game is going to mess around. United's going to mess around and be losing this game 6 or 7-0.
Yeah. You weren't the only one to text me that. Yeah,
they looked terrible in that first half.
They got absolutely smashed. Of course, whenever they get smashed, Pogba was at the center of a lot of criticism. His hair is still blue from his France game, so people were like, well, he wants to play for City now. it was all kinds of things that had nothing to do with soccer, and that's what happens when you're losing. That was 2-0. United got slammed by all the critics at halftime, and then out they came. Pogba scores a goal on, I think it was a ball over the top. I'm trying to remember if it was a free kick or not. I think it was a ball over the top. And Pogba scores a goal pretty much uncontested. And then, Ken, he scores again 2 minutes later. And all of a sudden, it's 2-2, and the game has flipped on its head. And United just went on the attack from there.
Yep. And it was just, and it's again, I just think a lot of this comes down to City doesn't know what it's like. They have not been put under pressure enough to be able to grind out victories. They haven't had to grind out victories. So when this happens, just like it happened earlier in the week, they don't know what to do except for attack more. And even when that's not working, they don't just, you know, pack it in for the point. Or they don't know, they don't understand that. And maybe that's for the best. Maybe Pep would just be like, I'd rather lose than draw, play for a draw.
Yeah, I mean,
but who knows? I mean, you can't really fault him for that.
No,
I mean,
it's exciting
all the time.
Their style has led to so many wins this year, late wins especially, you know, putting them on a massive win streak and beating everybody in sight in the league. So let's talk about this, Ken. As United win this game, Chris Smalling scores a head ball to kind of
make up for his poor defense.
Yeah, to put himself in the spotlight after his after getting owned by Kompany. Smalling scores in the 69th minute. United come all the way back at City. They win 3-2. De Gea did have a ridiculous save in like the 88th minute, as he's liked to do. But United win this game. City lose. That is two matches in a row they've lost. Now, that's not a crisis by any stretch of the imagination. But, Ken, what does City have left this season if they lose to Liverpool again? I mean, they're already down 3-0 in that Champions League tie. They are going to be at home. But you have to imagine that Klopp's just going to try to score again. If they score again, City will have to score 5 times in the Champions League tie. What does their season look like if they are knocked out of Champions League? They lose to Man United. Does this game matter?
Losing to Man United?
Yeah. Does that matter?
Absolutely. Because now, I would argue it wouldn't mattered as much if they had gone and smashed Liverpool midweek.
Yeah.
Because
then it's just a whatever game.
That would mean that they were fully focused on winning the Premier League and the Champions League. But losing in the style they did in the Champions League to Liverpool, 3-0, with really a very slim chance to come back and make good on this tie to progress through. Then you go and lose to United after being up 2-0.
At home.
And at home, in front of your home fans. I mean, when they panned across the stadium at the end, I mean, people were crying. The city was crying. Like, that's how much it meant to them. Like, you're going to say, like, it doesn't matter. Or, does it even matter? I mean, ask the Manchester City fans. how much it doesn't matter or if it matters. Of course it matters. You got grown men crying in their seats, being consoled by their dads. I mean, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. But that's what it that's what it means, and that's the power of sport. That's the power of European soccer especially. And it matters a whole lot. So what you have now is just, like I said before, City just, now they just look like a great team that is going to win the Premier League easier than anyone's done in recent memory. They're still on, now we got to keep in mind, they're still on pace to get the most points ever scored in the Premier League, most goals scored. So they're still going to break records, and they're still going to be looked upon as a fantastic team that no one's going to touch for a while in terms of what they've done and how they did it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you're not a stats guy and it doesn't matter to you, like, that doesn't really matter to me personally. It's just pretty, it's pretty impressive what they've been able to do over the span of 38 games, mm-hmm. or what they're going to be able to do over the span of 38 games. They're just a club that didn't reach their potential. When you smash the league the way they have, you should be putting all of your focus and emphasis on the other trophies. They're not like that late United team, that late 90s United team that had the power, the consistency, the wherewithal to win a treble.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the Arsenal that went an entire season undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
End of the next season, even undefeated, 49 games. I mean, you can't really put them on that level anymore, in my very, very humble opinion.
Okay, so let's ask this then. You're talking about the best teams ever. The United 99 team won the treble. They won the Champions League. They won the League Cup.
That's unbelievable.
The FA Cup and the League. They only had 79 points in their win of the season. Chelsea's 0-4 team, that's the team with the most points ever, had 95 points. And Guardiola's men are on track to have 102 points. That Arsenal 0-4 team was unbeaten.
Yep.
What matters the most? Don't forget this Guardiola team. They have the longest win streak in history, and they ended the Premier League in December with a very, very contentious Premier League. What matters most to you, Ken, in terms of deciding who is the best team ever? Is it United's Champions League trophy that they won on the side and the other trophy they won on the side? Is it Arsenal having the just being unbeaten, invincible for an entire season? Or Guardiola's team, which should end up with the most points, most goals scored, plenty of other passing records? What matters most?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. It depends on, I mean, if you're a City fan, then City's the best team ever. If you're a United fan, United's the best team ever. And if you're an Arsenal fan, Arsenal has had the best team ever. So it's really hard to answer that question with any type of logic, because we're talking about fandom here. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter who the best team ever was, because it's a was question. Who cares? It's a what now. What I think is better served is what is next for City? What is next for United? What's next for Arsenal?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see that side of it, but what about, does it matter if the City team not only loses in the Champions League, but what if they end up at the end of this tie losing 5-1?
I think what matters, it's more impressive to me to see a team go completely undefeated. It's more impressive for me to see teams not only win their league, mm-hmm. but go outside and win major European trophies within the same season. So to me, City simply winning the Premier League, I don't really care how they did it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me how they do it, because there's always a big argument. You've been saying it the whole season, pretty much since the season started, once Man United didn't have a chance, that, you know, we're playing for second.
Yeah.
So at some point, the league is not even chasing City. They're mm-hmm. just trying to avoid them and writing off the week that they play them. So, I don't know. It hasn't been close in months.
We'll discuss it more when City locks up the title and when this Liverpool match is over, because if they end up winning that somehow, that changes the conversation. But it is a very interesting conversation to have.
Yeah, no, if they go in next week and win, we should save it, because you're right. Yeah. If they go in and beat Liverpool 4-0...
Yeah,
which they could.
It absolutely could happen. Liverpool plays their derby match against Everton at Everton, and it's 0-0 tie. No Mo Salah in this one, Ken. This is a Saturday's game. Still an exciting match. Still had a lot of blood in it, as these derby matches are like to have. But overall, 0-0. Does this game mean anything for Liverpool as they drop a little bit farther in the chase for second place?
They're
4 points back with a game in hand, but they are
the game over.
Yeah, and then they have the oh, you're right, the game over. I'm sorry, they have one more game than United, but they have to be odds on favorites to make the semifinals, which I mean that would be pretty successful, I would think, and they could win it. They could win the Champions League.
Exactly, they definitely could. And at this point, you're not going to finish outside of fourth. I would be more worried about finishing in third than finishing in second and focusing all attention on winning the Champions League and just making sure you do enough to keep Tottenham off of you so Tottenham finishes in fourth. But again, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, finishing fourth, who cares? Like, yeah, you're going to play the two extra games, but and there is the off shot, but...
That you get eliminated.
Sure, but I mean, it's a very, very off shot. But I mean, I would be focusing on finishing third rather than finishing second. And winning the Champions League.
Yeah, I think second is getting really close to being out of reach. Like I said, Liverpool has a game advantage over United. If United were to win that game, you're talking about a 7-point differential, which is pretty...
I think it's absolutely out of reach. You got to focus on third, where you are, staying where you are, mm-hmm. and winning the Champions League.
Yeah, if Tottenham wins their next game, because they also have a game in hand on Liverpool... If Tottenham wins, then Tottenham will be 3 points ahead of Liverpool, and Tottenham will be sitting in third place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool, if they finish in fourth and then are eliminated in the semifinals, again, this is an if question that hasn't happened yet. If they lose in the semifinals of the Champions League and finish in fourth, is that a successful season?
Yes.
Okay.
It's guaranteeing Champions League next season, the opportunity to play into Champions League next mm-hmm. season. And it's a semifinal berth that you haven't seen in a very, very long time.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah.
It's all about progression. It's not about just moving around, making a bunch of moves, making everyone think that you're progressing. If you're actually progressing, no matter how you do it, it's better than last season.
Yeah. Liverpool being back in the Champions League and then also being a threat in the Champions League is a huge deal for their fans. I could see that side of it for sure. Finishing in fourth would be, I don't know, it's not progressing, but they did finish. If they get, you know, if they beat City in the quarterfinals and make it to the semis, they could absolutely win in the semifinals. It doesn't matter who they play.
Because if you go in, okay. you make it to the semis, and then if you go in and win... It's progression on a world scale, not a league scale, but it's still progression, and you're still guaranteed everything. You win it. Who cares if you finish in fourth?
Yeah, I mean, they finish in fourth. They have an exciting season. They played much better in the second half of the season. There's definitely hope that they could challenge for a title.
Definitely.
I would agree. They have progressed. Even if they finish in fourth, they can't really finish in fifth, Ken. As Chelsea is 10 points behind them in fifth place. Tottenham wins their game 2-1. They squeak it out. There's a Harry Kane rescue mission as he comes on. But Eriksen is the big winner here. He scores in the 52nd minute and the 63rd minute. Stars in the match to knock Stoke down again. 2-1 Tottenham. As Tottenham just putting a little pressure on United for second place. And looking like they're going to really battle it out for third, for whatever that matters. Harry Kane's back, though, Ken.
Yeah, he's back, and he's doing Harry Kane things. And like you said before, good players, even on rival clubs, are still exciting to watch. And if Harry Kane's playing, typically people tune in, including myself. And he's exciting, so...
Yeah, I mean, you look at this game, and Tottenham beats Stoke. It looks a little more handily than it actually was, but it's good for Tottenham to have these other players like Eriksen, Dele Alli, who's been playing so well. Sets up another goal here. Now with Mohamed Salah out, perhaps Kane can get back in the golden boot race. I think he's five behind. I mean... It's gonna be close, but Tottenham still can, generating those results which don't raise eyebrows, but lead to another solid finish.
Yep.
So exactly. Tottenham looking like they're gonna finish in third or fourth, which would, you know, be a good season for them. Still
it
in the
would
FA
be,
Cup.
But while we're talking about this, like if we're gonna talk about Liverpool having a good, is it a good season? Is it, how long can this be a good season for Tottenham?
That's a good question. I mean, they're still competing for second place. They're not competing for first. So there's success there. They're in the Champions League. That's a success. They had a decent run in the Champions League against, you know, they end up getting eliminated by a tough draw, but they played very well in the group stages, got through the group stages. You'd have to say that I think it's a successful season. They're in the semifinals for the FA Cup. They need a trophy. I would say it's a good season for them, but it's not a great season.
Yeah, they're going to need a trophy. And I just fear for the fans of Tottenham that Pochettino doesn't think that it's necessary.
We'll see. It's one way of deflecting. Being a Manchester United fan and watching Jose deflect from wins and losses is pretty much the same. You never know what it is they're actually thinking, the managers, so... Yeah, I mean, Tottenham gets a nice win here. Now, Ken, the next thing I wanted to talk about is there a battle for fifth place, Ken? As Arsenal beats Southampton 3-2, and I think the fans were at this game.
Yeah, they were. I mean, it looked packed.
Aubameyang and the big hero is well back. Southampton looking like they're going to nick some points and get out of the relegation zone, but Danny Welbeck wasn't having it, Ken.
Yeah, I was worried. I was concerned because...
Should
and
be.
Not so much the dropping of points to finish in fifth, just the sheer aspect of dropping points to yet another team in a relegation zone.
At home.
Like, I'm just so tired of that happening that that's like a regular occurrence as an Arsenal fan. It becomes... very, very annoying to watch, and it was just a matter of luckily today Danny Welbeck and Aubameyang saved us from our horrendous defensive display. And I don't even feel like our defense is bad. They just have ADD.
Yeah.
Like they just turn off at the most important moments of every game, and damn if we don't get burned every single time.
Yeah, you guys let up a ton of goals.
Yeah, and it's because every single time the defense will be playing well, and it's like, man, we played good for 20 minutes. I'm just going to take a little breather here. Hey, Koss, you got this one?
Yeah,
Staffy, I'll take care of this one. Oh, they're bringing two. I need you. Oh, tie my shoe here.
Yeah, seriously. That's a pretty apt description.
And it's so frustrating as a fan because nothing changes. Same lineup comes out every single time. I think they did change the tactic defensively the last couple of games. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't seen it work out to be any better than before. I mean, and they changed it in the Europa League, but they were playing, I think, a team that they thought that they would be able to handedly beat. And they did.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think that Arsenal has, out of everyone in that is a big name club in City, United, Liverpool, Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, even with all Chelsea's, you know, shortcomings, I think that Arsenal have the most work to do because they have to get people and the experts and the fans to believe that they are serious about contending for a title when for the last 10 or so years, really, they've just been competing for fourth. And even when they didn't get fourth, they started making these makeshift excuses as to why fourth was no longer important either.
Yeah.
So.
And then ended up signing the guy for two more years. Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, the last couple of weeks, the most exciting thing for me as an Arsenal fan is just seeing a big money striker come into the club and score goals on a consistent basis. Because I don't know how much I could have taken if Aubameyang came in here and was just a dud.
Yeah, Lacazette ending up being a dud, that's definitely...
Well, I wouldn't call him a dud yet. I think that Aubameyang is actually going to be a little bit of a spark that he needs to get. Because while he hasn't scored goals, he's not and I don't want to throw anything at Chelsea any more than we already do, but he's not a Murata. At least when he's on the pitch, he does offer up some positives.
True, he doesn't
on
have
a
like
more consistent
yellow cards.
Basis, he does open up space. He does attract players to him and open up space for other players. So I wouldn't say he's completely a dud, but I think that Aubameyang being there has kind of lit a fire under him, and he knows he needs to score goals, even though he didn't get one today. But I think that I'm not willing to write him off yet. Aubameyang's been a good signing for us. I just think that, you know, we need defensive reinforcement like crazy, and we need it yesterday.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in the summer. Arsenal does win this game 3-2 because of a Danny Welbeck late goal. Welbs is a superhero, Ken. Arsenal goes into their CSKA Moscow game winning 4-1.
Yeah.
That's a quarterfinals for the Europa League. It'll be in Russia, but you'd have to imagine that even Arsenal could get through on this one and should make the semifinals of Europa.
Who's going to win it? It's Arsenal and Atletico Madrid in the final. Who wins, Thomas?
I'd say Atletico Madrid. I'm sorry.
Gosh.
I'm
I
sorry.
Can't stand you.
I'm sorry. They're very well organized.
We're winning the Europa League for sure. That's why finishing in sixth won't matter, and that's why your question earlier, is there a battle for fifth?
Are you sure that there's no battle for fifth? Because there's 3 points separating Chelsea versus Arsenal.
No, there's definitely a battle for fifth. When Chelsea can't go in and beat West Ham with Joe Hart between the sticks, there's a problem. There's definitely a battle. I'm just trying to say I don't really think it's going to matter.
Yeah, you've said that before. You said that...
We're going to win Europa League. I know that I'm a latecomer to the necessity of Europa League, but
yeah,
in
are.
Fairness to me, I'm an Arsenal fan. I had to make sure that Arsenal was up for the task, and they have shown that they are, albeit the fact that they're going to probably finish in sixth place, which means they had no choice but to make Europa League a priority.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they had fourth place locked up, that they would give no caring about Europa League, and that's just me. I think that even though I do think Europa, it would be a nice trophy to raise, no matter what. And I think that it's going to make, when we raise the trophy this season in Europa League, that much better, because we absolutely need it.
They are on pace to at least make the final, so we will see what happens with that. Whether or not there's a race for fifth place, Chelsea drops points to a struggling West Ham team that's just barely out of the relegation zone. I mean, what do you say, Ken, to a Chelsea squad that looks unmotivated and, frankly, depressed?
I think it's funny now to see, now all of a sudden, Conte's come out and said, no, my plan is to stay. I plan on being here for a long time.
Yeah, I thought that was really strange.
What do you mean? The whole season, you've been talking about how much you hate life at Chelsea without saying, I hate life at Chelsea.
Yeah.
You've been beating around the bush, and now all of a sudden, you wait until Roman probably doesn't even want you.
Yeah.
You can't win a league and then finish in fifth with no prospects of anything else.
Yeah,
and think that that's acceptable. Like, come on, man. He's gone. I don't know. I read a report saying that Juventus manager, what's his name? Allegri is already, like, signed on to come over or something.
Yeah,
I think that would
make
sense.
But I just
think it's funny timing. Like,
but
now you're going to say I want to stay.
We gave Conte his obituary last week, really. As they were eliminated from basically everything and now are sliding all the way to being in a race for sixth place against an Arsenal team that gave up in the winter, basically just came crashing down in the winter. And to imagine that Arsenal, a nearby rival for all intents and purposes, could pip them as they just slide into nothingness. You have to imagine that Conte has no chance of surviving.
No way. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And, of course, after the game, Conte's still talking about top four, and now he says, we must be realistic. You must win this game if you want to reach that target. In this case, we want to reach a place in the Champions League. The season we have struggled in this game describes our season. In many games, you have good performances, you create chances, but if you're not clinical, how many times have I said that we don't take our chances? And then we concede one single goal. I mean, it goes back to one of the things we said in the very beginning of the year, Ken. How would Chelsea deal with extra matches to play? And we've seen it this year. They did not deal with it.
Yeah, you can't deal with it. They can't deal with it because they had a manager who I believe was checked out in the beginning, and now he's realizing that he's taken such a slide that he's going to be wanted because of who he is and the records that he has before. But the allure of him is a little bit off. Like when you win the league the first season in the manner in which you did, but then you immediately slide down. Like, if you can't be a positive manager when the chips are down, I would hazard to guess that not many clubs are going to want you around for too long.
Yeah, it is very strange to see a manager who does so well when the team is doing well. We talked about this as well with Klopp, with guys that are really, really, you know, crazy, energetic, and positive. But then when things go wrong, their whole team feels it with them as they drop even lower, as opposed to a manager who stays a little more neutral. But in this case, you know, we talked about it before. Conte started sliding and the team started sliding. So it's not a surprise at all. And there is absolutely a race for fifth place right now. Arsenal's run-in, I think, Ken, is pretty good. I think you guys play United.
We play United and then relegation teams.
And all relegation teams, except for you do play Burnley. Yeah. That's a home match. But the rest of the teams, and you play Leicester too. But Leicester and Burnley won't have anything to play for. Go late into the season, you'd have to say that you would expect Arsenal to have a nice run in. That being said, no,
it's Arsenal.
Ken,
we almost lost Arsenal to Southampton today, so
yeah. Chelsea gets their chance against Southampton next week. They also play Southampton in the FA Cup, so they have that to play for. They play all relegation teams except for Liverpool at home. That's really their only point where they could lose some ground, but I mean the way they're playing right now, they could lose ground anywhere.
Yep, exactly right. And you know, it'll just be something to watch. I mean, I like watching the demise of Chelsea, just like I would like watching the demise of Tottenham. And just so I could just poke at you, I'd love to see United finish in third. But you know, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I have to live vicariously through the shortcomings of other clubs.
Oh yeah, I'm an Orioles fan, so we do the same thing with the Yankees and the Red Sox. It's the way we have to do things, and I definitely took great joy out of Manchester City losing handily, even if it was to another fierce rival in Liverpool. I believe that I was worried that City was going to be this mega squad, and they've been knocked out of the mega squad running. You know, they're a terrific league team, but you don't have to worry about them being talked about as the best team ever. Team ever, period. That includes all leagues. You don't have to talk about that anymore because that conversation is over.
Exactly right.
But Ken, let's jump into relegation real quick. We have the West Brommers, and they are going to get relegated.
They're relegated.
They fired their manager. They are 6, 7, 8. They're 10 points from safety, so they're done. Stoke is 4 points from safety. Are they done, Ken?
Yes.
Stoke is done, according to Ken. And then Southampton continues their sleepwalk. Palace this week, Ken. I mean, they just keep losing points late in games. I feel bad for them.
They do.
They do play better football than all these other relegation-battling teams. You know what I mean?
Yep. No, they definitely do. I believe that. That's why I think that they'll do enough to get out. But they're going to need to find a little bit of luck. And
they haven't had none this year.
Right, and I think that that's why Stoke is done too. Because where they are, they're a little bit further back than them. And they have just been very, very unlucky. Like in the last couple of weeks. I mean, you can't go up against clubs and then lose if you plan on staying in the league.
Yeah, like in this match, they're playing Bournemouth. And Zaha is brilliant again in this match. There's a great free kick goal in this one if you get a chance to see it by Crystal Palace. I can never pronounce this guy's name. Milivojevic. I'm sorry, Ken. That was horrible. But Palace plays better football. But again, they lose these 3 points in the 89th minute as Bournemouth scores a late goal. And that's just what's happened to them all season. It will be amazing if they do survive losing so many points after the 85th minute. That can be such a crushing blow
and
to a team.
What did they lose, like 9 games in a row? They started the game with like the season with 9 games, 9 losses.
Yeah,
it was like something I don't even remember.
They didn't score for 7 games.
I was so annoyed with them I wouldn't even watch their games.
I remember that.
But look at them now. I mean, They're not completely out because Southampton has a game in hand. And the goal differential is exactly the same.
They are the best of those teams, but they're not out.
I would say the season, too, and I feel like kind of sad even saying that because I kind of enjoy Southampton as a club. But
yeah,
when you put yourself in precarious situations and you don't have the wherewithal to kind of pack it in like a struggling team should when you get that lead against a club that you really shouldn't really be beating. I don't know, man. It's going to be exciting. To me, it's what? Second, third, and fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to get relegated between 18th and... I'd go to 15th. I think that West Ham is safe now. 34 points, I think, makes them safe.
Probably safe.
Especially with a game in hand.
Yeah, probably safe. Stoke and West Brom expect to get eliminated. And then you have Southampton.
You could even say Swansea is safe, too. I mean, they have a game in hand, too.
Southampton, Palace, Huddersfield, Swansea, West Ham, and Brighton all sit within 5 points of the drop. So all those teams battling it out for a bigger prize, honestly, if you really look at it, probably a bigger prize than maybe even the title sometimes. I mean, it sounds crazy to say that, but if you get dropped down in relegation, you have a whole nother battle just to get back up and even be relevant again. And some of those teams, we've seen it with Wigan and Middlesbrough, they dropped down several times.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you say, we talked about that last week, Dick, hard it is to get back in. But when you say that surviving the drop is as big as winning the title or even bigger, it is.
It really is.
That is the title for them. For Crystal Palace, Southampton, Huddersfield, Swansea, 17th place is going to be the title.
Yeah. It's so much to do with money, staying in the Prem, money again.
Relevancy.
Relevancy as a club. I mean to get that kind of, money to be able to establish yourself and maybe be able to become the next Leicester, the next Burnley. Newcastle sitting in 10th right now, Ken. That's a real victory for them because they looked like they were going to get relegated earlier. Rafa's done a great job with their defense and organizing them, working with a smaller budget and a club that is on the block to be sold every other week, and that hinders their transfer business a lot as they don't want to make moves and waste money. But yeah, I mean, you have to say, Ken, that relegation is always extremely exciting. If you've never watched it before, do tune in at the end of the season while the second, third, and fourth places are being settled in matches where mostly it'll be Manchester United against these relegation battlers or Tottenham against these relegation battlers, Arsenal and Chelsea versus them. But they have everything to play for, the relegation battlers, every minute of the rest of the season. And I believe that this will be decided in the last game of the season between three teams. There's not much more exciting in sports than watching a team that's on the verge of the drop pull it out at the last minute. And Crystal Palace would be in a perfect circumstance to do that with such a horrible start.
Who are you less concerned about getting relegated?
If you had your
choice, who would it be?
I really think Palace plays good enough football and has a good enough team. Besides Christian Benteke missing everything on earth.
Yeah,
he's like the worst out-of-form striker in the history of the Prem right now. He just cannot score a goal for his life. Otherwise, they would be sitting at 40 points in 10th place. I think Palace is the best team of that bunch. Even I think Palace is a better squad than West Ham. Like you said, I think West Ham's probably in the clear. I think that Southampton, I like Southampton as a club. I like the way they build their talent, and I think it'd be a real shame if they dropped. But they just have shown no life in the second half of the season. They've been miserable for like the last 20 games. So, that's what happens when you turn it off. So I would say Southampton was the team I was most worried about, and Palace the least.
All right, yeah, that makes sense.
All right, Ken. Well, we're not going to get too much into next week's games. We do have some Champions League matches coming up. We talked about them with City versus Liverpool. You've made your point clear on what you think is going to happen with that one. Tottenham versus Manchester City next week. Ken, we'll make this really quick because we're almost on the hour mark here. Tottenham's at home. Does Tottenham continue City's misery? Could they lose another match in a row?
I think it really depends on what happens at with the Liverpool game. But I think Tottenham, they've got what it takes to beat them. I mean, they're a high-pressure attacking club as well. And if they can catch them first, I really do. I've been saying this forever. If you can catch City first or quick, the way that United did today, the quick out of the second half, kind of stunned them a little bit. It was just, it's going to be on for them. And I don't think that they're an untouchable club at that moment. So it really just depends on how the game starts. But I think a lot of the Tottenham City game really depends on the City-Liverpool game.
All right, I would agree with that, actually. I think Tottenham has a good chance to take points off of them as they are limping to the finish line here. Of course, that conversation changes if City beats Liverpool. So it's exactly what you said. All that matters is the midweek game against Liverpool, and then from there you can make your own assumptions. Southampton plays Chelsea. Chelsea skidding. If they drop points there, then they're going to finish in sixth.
Yep.
Liverpool, Bournemouth, Tottenham, Manchester City, United plays West Brom, and Arsenal plays Newcastle. Those are the matches for next week. Ken, anything to add?
Not a thing.
All right, buddy. For Ken Lee and the absent Tyler Alfeld, I will say to everybody, have an awesome week.